Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Guy Malone is my very special guest. And each Wednesday, we cover LISC, Long Island Serial Killer, and information around it and different stories that may be related or may not be related. And Guy Malone has an intriguing story, and it may have led to the arrest of Jim Burke, at least in part to Jim Burke, former police chief. Frank McKay here with Guy Malone. Guy, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, listen, what I said in the intro there, I connected you to the to giving information that may or may not have led to the arrest of Jim Burke. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Now, having said that, let's start with you, and where do you come in on this whole situation? When do you first meet Chief Burke or prior?
Well, I didn't meet him. I first ran in, had a run in, or found out about some of his doings, illegal stuff, back in January 1999.
And what was it? What are the events around you meeting Jim Burke?
Well, the first thing, it was the first week in January 1999. My then wife had asked me to get something in her purse. She was up in bed upstairs. So I went down into the kitchen. I went into a purse. She wanted a paperback book. And there in the purse, I found a full-size police badge. And it was attached to an index card. And on the index card, it said, to Heather Malone, that was my wife, from Detective Sergeant James T. Burke. And I'm looking at this and go, what? I didn't even know who Burke was, but this is a full-size badge. So I go upstairs to the bedroom, and I says, who's James Burke? So she just looked at me, stunned, like, and I didn't tell her I saw the badge. She just, it's somebody, I cut his hair, because my wife was a hair cutter. So I didn't say anything. But things weren't good between me and my wife at that time. I didn't say anything. I just said, okay. About a week and a half later, my wife now is never home at nights. She's always out at nights. I don't know what she's doing. She won't tell me where she's going. I come home. We have a five-year-old daughter. I take care of my daughter. This one night she comes home about 10 o'clock, dressed to kill. She had this really tight black dress on. And I started questioning her as to where she was. And she basically wouldn't give me any information. She basically told me it was none of my business. So we got into an argument. And during the argument, she hauled off and punched me as hard as you can in my right temple, almost knocked me out. Took me about 10 seconds to recover. Once I did, I charged her because I was really ticked off, and I was going to punch her. But then I said, you know what? Now, that's the wrong thing to do. But I got right in her face, and I started yelling at her. And when I did that, I stepped on her foot. She had no shoes on at the time. Well, when I stepped on her foot, I put a bruise on her instep the size of a quarter. Well, immediately she ran into the other room, said, I'm calling the police. You assaulted me. I didn't assault you. You punched me. Well, she calls the cops, 4th precinct. They come to my house. They see the bruise on her foot. They arrest me. Now I'm put in jail. So I'm in jail overnight. Next day, we go before a judge, and the judge is ready basically to throw the book at me. But I had my attorney there, and my attorney saw the bruise on the right side of my temple, of my head. And the attorney said, showed it to the judge, and the officer who had arrested me also testified that I was at the time of the arrest stating that she had punched me in the head. And that it was the proof. I had the bruise on the side of my head. So the judge didn't charge me with anything. He said, there's a 30-day cooling off period here. We'll reconvene us in 30 days. But in the meantime, I was hit with an order of protection. I was not allowed back in my house. Now, a lot of my friends, good friends and clients, heard that my wife had me arrested. And they were shocked because they knew me pretty well. They knew I'm, you know, upstanding guy. And all of a sudden, they all started coming out of the woodwork, telling me stories about situations of affairs and things that were going on with my wife that I had no idea about. And these were very detailed stories, very accurate, so I knew they were true about certain situations. Turns out, everyone had a different story. My wife had been screwing around with a lot of men, from what these stories indicated. So I said, something's going on here. I hired a private detective. I still wasn't allowed in my house. And I requested, let me get my phone records. I want to see all the phone calls that were being made from my house in the prior year. when I got the phone records, I started going over every phone call that was made. And all of a sudden, I started seeing this number appear on my phone line. It was a phone number that I did not recognize. And starting in around June of 1998 through December 1998, remember, I was arrested January 99, I noticed that this phone number was being called sometimes 10, 15 times a day, every day. Mm. And each phone call was less than a minute long. So it was a very short phone call, and it would maybe four or five phone calls made in rapid succession. So over a two-minute period, my wife, who had been dialing this number, might have been dialing it four or five times in a two-minute period. I said, this is strange. I got to know what this is. So I call the number. When I call the number, I get a recording. It says, you have reached, and I won't give the name, but what was my wife's best friend. She did nails at the time. She worked in a salon, did nails. They said, you have reached so-and-so's nail business. Please leave a message. Now, I knew this girl very well. She was my wife's best friend. I knew she didn't have her own business. And I knew that, wait a minute, something's going on here. Why would my wife be calling this number 15 times a day? This was her best friend. This woman did not have her own nail business. So I told my private investigator, find out what's going on with this number. She gets back to me, this is the investigator, and says, it's an unlisted number. I can't give you any information. So right away, I says, wait a minute. If it's a business, why would it be an unlisted number? So I said to the investigator, I want to know. I don't care what it takes. You got to tell me what's going on with this number. So to make a long story short, I had to pay her $800. She gets back to me, says the number is a PageNet. And it's listed, or it's registered to a Jane, that's Jane, J-A-N-E, Burke, at 2 Samus Drive, Smithtown. So, now I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a badge in my wife's purse that said, James Burke. This is a Jane Burke. Strange. So I had a good friend who owned Park Bake Shop up in Kings Park. And that's where all the cops from the 4th Precinct hang out. Very good friend of mine. So I went up there and I started talking to him. He says, oh, yeah. He says, James Burke. Yeah, he's in the 4th Precinct. And I says, well, does he live at 2 Samus Drive, Smithtown? He goes, yep, which happened to be right around the corner from where I lived. I said, does he have a sister or maybe is he married? Anybody, Jane Burke? He goes, nope. I said, what's going on here? He says, let me tell you something. He said, not only is he not married, all the cops hate him and in the 4th Precinct. And he also was busted for prostitution back in 1995 for hanging out with...
Hey, let me jump in for 1 second. I'm going to remind folks, if they're just tuning in or turning on their radio, that you're listening to the voice of Guy Malone, Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Guy Malone is sharing with his with us his story, and it ties into former police chief James Burke, and allegations that there was a prostitution ring involved. Now, listen, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm doing more research, and it turns out a PageNet, which now I know it is this thing back in 1999 where people call in and leave messages. And then, in this case, my wife is calling up to get the messages. Now, the reason why she's calling 10, 15 times a day and in rapid succession, and each call is less than a minute, is because you can only pick up one message at a time. So if she called three or four times in a two-minute period, that means she has three or four messages that she has to pick up, okay? And then I also knew that in 1995, Jim Burke was busted for prostitution by the Suffolk County Police. He was transferred from the 2nd Precinct to the 4th Precinct. I'm doing all my own investigation.
Now, was he charged? Was he charged? He was indicted?
It was an internal thing where it didn't get out. It wasn't leaked out to the public, okay? But it was definitely on police records. He was transferred and busted in rank because of his alleged ties to a black prostitute whose name was Loretta Rickenbacker, which now has come out in the press.
Since
all this stuff, okay? But I found this out in 1999. Now, and she was using his beeper, which happens to be the same beeper that my wife is using, all right? Now, I go to internal affairs with this. They immediately took the case. They said, Definitely. We know about his alleged ties to prostitution. Excuse me. So they've now put this into one of their top priority cases. Well, within a couple of days of me going to the Suffolk County Police on April 1st, 1999, with all the evidence, the phone records, everything, the beeper number was turned off. That means Jim Burke got wind of what I was doing. He knew that I went to the Suffolk County Police because he has people in there that probably tipped him off that he was under investigation. So now the whole thing was closed down, and I'm sure at that point in time, this whole prostitution ring was shut down because I realized this was a bad situation. So in the meantime, I'm in the process of divorcing my wife. We bring her in under oath, which is an examination before trial on EBT, and we're going to question her. And back in the end of February now, my wife actually moved out of this house, and I got back into my house after 45 days. You got to remember, I had an order of protection against me.
Yes.
And she told the court she had decided to leave, and she had just rented an apartment. And this whole thing sounded really fishy to me, really fishy. And I found out who the landlord was of the place she rented, and I sent my private investigator over there. And we found out that the landlord was very cooperative, gave us copies of documents signed, lease, everything, that she rented the apartment on January 12th, not the end of February, like she told the court. I was arrested by the 4th Precinct on January 21st. So fully 9 days before I was arrested, she already rented an apartment. So she knew she was moving out. She had to come up with a scheme. Her and Burke came up with a scheme to get me arrested by the 4th Precinct to make it look like it was my fault.
She wanted you to see the badge, right? She wanted you to see that badge in her pocketbook?
No, she didn't. No, that she didn't. Maybe she did. I don't know. I can't answer, okay? But I still never told her I saw the bitch. So now we go under oath, put her under oath, and she's, oh, yeah, I just rented this apartment the end of February, you know, because my husband was threatening me and all this other crap. Well, guess what? We produced a copy of the lease showing she signed it on January 12th and a receipt showing she gave him, I think it was $1,800 cash to pay the security and a month's rent. She was like flabbergasted. She had no idea I knew this. So she got caught in a huge lie. And then when we asked her, how did you pay for this? Where did you get all this money to pay for the rent? She didn't know what to say. So finally she said, well, a friend gave me the money. Well, we said, who was the friend? She said, Jim Burke. So in other words, Jim Burke gave her, I think it was $1,800 on January 12th to rent an apartment, okay? She had me arrested on January 21st, claimed I assaulted her, lied to everybody that she rented the apartment at the end of February, tried to tell people that she paid for the apartment. We caught her red-handed. I still have the transcript of her lying under oath. So now she's really starting to get in deep water here because things are starting to unravel for her.
Hey, hold your thought 1 second. I'm going to remind people once again. Those just tuning in, Frank McKay here with Guy Malone. Guy Malone is telling us a story that alleges that James Burke, former police chief and at the time sergeant,
he was a detective sergeant.
Detective sergeant, and he was in the 4th Precinct at the time. And to cut to the chase a little bit, not to cut you off, this is all important.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Do you believe or you learned afterwards that your wife, I could say her name, Heather Malone, was a prostitute working for Jimmy Burke?
I won't say she was working for him. I will put it to you this way. He was providing her police protection, and she was using his beeper to solicit her clients. He gave her the beeper, which means he was protecting her, and he's also protecting her as far as police arresting her for any of these illegal activities.
Now,
I got to tell you one other bit here.
Go ahead.
Fast forward to June now, June 1999, they came up with another scheme because Burke knew now I was moving in on him. Burke was not happy because he knew that I put this thing under investigation with Internal Affairs. So they concocted another scheme, him and my wife, to get me arrested a second time, which was at my daughter's kindergarten graduation on June 18th. And I still had the order of protection against me, so I wasn't supposed to be near my wife, but they allowed me to go to the graduation, even though my wife was there. Well, they concocted a scheme. They accused me of assaulting her at the graduation. Police came. They called the police. I was arrested. This time now I was arrested with a Class B felony because it's a violation of the order of protection, and I now had to go back in jail on Father's Day weekend, 1999. I find out that it's the best thing that ever could happen to me because my attorney says because it's now a felony, you can go before a grand jury. So we had a grand jury. My wife went in there first. She accused me of pushing her to the floor, tearing her dress during the ceremony, all this crap, which never happened. Well, I had three witnesses. One was my daughter's teacher and two parents that were there at the ceremony that came up to me when they saw I was getting arrested. And they said, if you need us, here's our information. You call. You did nothing wrong. So sure enough, I went before the grand jury. I brought those witnesses in. After they gave their story, I was found completely not guilty. And the grand jury found that my wife had lied to the grand jury. Once again, one of Burke's schemes unraveled right before their eyes. And they never anticipated this. Also, at this time, I brought Burke in under oath, did an EBT, which is an examination before trial. I still have the transcript where we questioned him about all his ties to prostitution. And this was on June 18th, I think it was. June 23rd, 2000.
Well, now, listen, focus on that
okay.
for a second. Because that's.
Goes in, go ahead. We got to hear this. Who's representing him? He's got an attorney. You know who's representing him?
Tom Spoda.
At this hearing?
Spoda?
Spoda. Spoda's law firm. I have the transcript all there. So Spoda knows. He had to know that Burke was already involved in prostitution, that we were coming after him on this. So Spoda had to know because he was representing Burke at this hearing. Well, we questioned Burke about everything. He completely lied, completely denied ever having any ties to a prostitute, knew nothing about it. Well, that was back in 2000. Since then, all the things about his ties to prostitution with Lolita Rickenbacker, the pager, all have come out and been verified as true. I knew about it back then, and that's why we questioned him. He denied everything, lied under oath. I turned all that over to Internal Affairs, the transcript showing where he lied. They knew his ties to prostitution. They didn't do a thing. In fact, they promoted him during all this from sergeant, from detective sergeant, to a lieutenant. I freaked out when he got promoted. I said, how can you promote this guy? He's lying under oath. He's involved with prostitutes. My wife was one of his prostitutes. Well, they wouldn't do a thing. Now go to April 2001. The grand jury has found me innocent. They have determined that my wife lied. We now go to the divorce trial. I'm taking her to trial for the divorce. He's going to be one of the main witnesses. We're going to bring him in, and we're going to really rip into him. Well, the first person to take the stand is my wife. And now the judge presiding over the hearing knows already that she lied to a grand jury. So that really puts
Who was the judge? Do you remember?
Blydenburg.
Donald Blydenburg.
He passed away. That puts her in a bad position. Because right away, you'll lie to a grand jury. That's a serious offense. Well, she gets on the stand the first day, and we tore her apart. Completely tore her apart. Caught her in all her lies. Caught her in all her BS. So we're going now for the second day of the hearing. Now, on the second day, I'm supposed to take the stand, and then we're going to bring in all our witnesses, which one of them is going to be Burke. I'm going to tear him apart. Well, Blydenburg comes walking in for the second day of the hearing and says, you know what? I've heard enough. I'm stopping the trial right here.
Wow.
I'm awarding the decision to me, the defendant. And I never took the stand, never had to bring in any witnesses. He just based on what he knew about her lying to the grand jury, what he knew about what happened the day before at the hearing when she lied, he decided to stop the trial. So I won the trial. And I'm sitting there like, okay, what did I win? It's like, to me, I won the Confederate lottery on April 10th, 1865,
right.
You know, which means they surrendered the day before. It's useless,
yeah.
Okay? So my attorney looks at me and goes, no, man, you destroyed her. I said, yeah, but I never got a chance to destroy Burke because we were going to bring Burke in under oath and we were going to tear him apart. I never got that opportunity. So he says, look, you won your trial, you saved everything, you didn't lose your house, you did well, move on with your life, and don't pursue this anymore. So that's what I did. And the thing is, now that I think about it, I wouldn't doubt that Burke got to the judge, knowing that Heather, my wife at the time, was in deep trouble, and if he came in on the oath, we would nail him to the wall. So I wouldn't doubt that he had a connection with Blydenburg, that he and Blydenburg worked together to stop that trial before he had to come in. That's my guess. It could be wrong. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
he was going to get torn apart, and he knew it.
All right. Frank McKay here. More importantly, our very special guest is Guy Malone. And Guy Malone is an insurance man. by trade, but his story today is about his ex-wife, Hevel Malone, and her relationship that she had, whether it's professional or not, and personal, with former police chief James Burke, who is currently in prison, serving a 4.5-year term on covering up an investigation and a whole bunch of other things. Like I said, we can go off on that forever. Frank McKay here with Guy Malone. Guy, welcome back.
Yes, hi.
Well, let me get back to the deposition, or the you had another term for it, the time you spent deposing, or your lawyer spent deposing Jim Burke, and you asked him different questions about prostitution, being involved with a prostitution ring. I mean, I think that's the key here, is we don't know that all of that has been publicized or it hasn't been confirmed. Confirm it for us now. What do you have in your possession?
Me?
Yeah.
A possession? I have the transcript. We also videotaped it because we wanted to videotape him, because I knew he was going to lie. We wanted to show him squirming, okay, as he was lying on the questions. I don't have the videotape anymore. We turned that over to Internal Affairs back in 2000, and it's since been gone. So I tried to get it back from them. They refused to give it back to me, and they say they can't even find it. But even if they could find it, they wouldn't give it back. They say it's their property. But we did videotape him. And after the transcript, when I got the transcript back and I read through the whole thing, I prepared about a 3-page analysis of everything he said and where he lied. I documented each spot where he lied in that transcript. I still have all this, by the way.
How was he as a witness?
In my possession.
I mean, as a professional witness, being a police officer, was he? What, you know, you thought you'd have him squirming. Was he squirming, or was he pretty stoic?
You know, he's a cool character, this guy. Okay, you know, there's some people that just, they lie their whole lives, so they lie better than other people. But I tell you what, he knew that we had him, you know, he was in trouble. He knew. And he just didn't know how much I knew, okay? I think him and my ex-wife were shocked about all the stuff that I had found out, especially about the Rickenbacker case, because that was sealed information that was never released to the public. I found out through the guy who owned Park Bakery, and the only reason why he knew, because all the cops from the 4th Precinct used to come in there, and they talk. They talked about Burke, so they don't want to tell me. They also told stories to my client at the Park Bake Shop about how Jim Burke and my wife, they all knew that he was shacking up with my wife. They all knew this. I had no idea. They knew specific situations where he would meet Heather at a hotel, okay? And I remember the dates and everything when it happened, but I didn't know he was there, that she was meeting him. So this guy is telling me all this stuff. I'm sitting there, I was like, how do you know this? He said, because the cops all in the 4th Precinct know all about Burke. They know about his ties to prostitution. They know the whole story. So that's where I got my information, and then that's what prompted me to go hire an investigator and for me to go do my own investigating. Let me tell you, I was on this for 2 years. I didn't sleep. I basically almost lost my business because I was determined to uncover the truth and get as much information as possible about this bastard. I'm sorry I said that.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
And before we went to trial, because I still have it. We have about 250 questions that we were going to ask him at the trial. I still have the questions that I from 17 years ago. All right? And we were going to destroy him. And I'm sure he was going to lie. But, you know, when I went to Internal Affairs with the transcript, I said to them, I said, look, this guy's a police officer. The one thing you can't do if you're a police officer, you cannot lie under oath or you lose your job. That's prerequisite, okay? When you're on the stand, if you lie under oath, that's grounds for termination. And I presented them all the evidence, and they didn't do a damn thing. They promoted him. That's what they did. And I freaked out. I just freaked out. I said, you know what? I give up. It's like, what's the use of me spending all this money and giving you all this information, and you people aren't going to do a damn thing?
Let me jump in again. Guy Malone is the voice that you're hearing. He's an insurance man who has a fascinating story. His ex-wife Heather Malone he discovered that she was acting as a prostitute, behaving as
alleged
prostitute. And he alleges that that she was getting political, I should say, police protection from James Burke, then a sergeant on the...
And by the way, all the police officers in the 4th Precinct at that time verified that, that she was like persona non grata. She was untouchable, okay? That was Heather Malone. And, she, you know, nobody would mess with her because she was Jim Burke's girl.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Do you think that, and again, these are just allegations, doesn't mean they're true or whatever. I just want to put out that disclaimer. But do you think that Burke benefited financially from your wife?
I know my wife did. I can put it to you that way. Him, I don't know. I don't know what the arrangement was, but I know... You know, my wife's walking around with a Rolex watch. And I looked at her and I says, "Where? A Rolex?" She said, "Oh, no, no, it's not real. It's a knockoff. I got it for $20. Some guy comes around to the salon where she works and they sell these things, okay?" And I'm sitting here, okay, I believe that. Right. Where are you going to get the money for a Rolex? Well, it turns out it was real.
Right.
Also, she had Louis Vuitton luggage. Now, I don't know if you know anything about luggage.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I knew nothing about it. I see this luggage. No, I don't know what Louis Vuitton luggage is. Well, I later found a receipt. Just one piece of luggage costs her $850 just for one piece.
Let me jump in. Obviously, she was making money, and she allegedly was making money as a prostitute. But what you're basically alleging, and you did it legally, you did it. You know, you brought the charges and all this, and you deposed him. What you're alleging is that he protected her as a police officer, which, of course, is completely inappropriate. But that's different than him running a prostitution agency.
I'm going to even go one step further. They were boyfriend, girlfriend, but for 7 years while we were married, which I later found out through witnesses. I didn't know. He's such a perverted, sick person, okay? He gets off on the fact that maybe his girlfriend is a prostitute, and he's going to set it all up for her, and he's a cop. And he's going to, arrange that she can make the money. I don't know if he was getting money, but he set it up with his beeper so she can call that number where she can have her clients call in, knowing there's full protection. She doesn't have to worry about a thing. It was an unlisted phone number, okay? And I fell into this. I stumbled into it, okay? Not knowing, had no idea that this was going on. And by the luck of God, maybe, or... somebody was watching over me. I uncovered this whole thing, okay, through my phone records. And everything fell into place.
Yeah, you see, let me clarify, too. I mean, it's completely illegal for a police officer to protect somebody who's knowingly doing something illegal and to be encouraging it or whatever. But, again, it's like I've heard about allegations about Jimmy Burke owning or running a prostitution service. Is this what we're talking about when we hear that, or is there something else?
Well, when I met with Newsday about 3-4 years ago with Tanya Lopez, I'm the one who tipped her off to all this stuff that went on with Loretta Rickenbacker in 1995. They had no idea because it was all sealed. The Suffolk County Police had this sealed. Newsday had no record of it, okay? Well, she went and did her own research after I tipped her off. She got back to me, and she said, "Guy, you were absolutely right. They did. There was this Loretta Rickenbacker. He was busted for prostitution, and then... but shortly thereafter, Newsday ran with the story. They didn't use my wife or my name, but they ran with the story that Jim Burke had alleged ties to prostitution and a prostitute who, you know, he got reprimanded by the Suffolk County Police. That's when it came out. And the only reason why it came out is because I told Tanya Lopez about what I knew, and Tanya Lopez researched it. And then Newsday was going to run a full-page story on this, and it got squashed.
Now, was it before Loeb or was it after Loeb?
This is before.
Before Loeb. No kidding.
This is about a year. This is when he got first promoted to being the chief of Suffolk County Police.
Did Tanya Lopez...
That's when I went to Newsday. And I was sitting here my Sunday morning, picked up my Sunday newspaper, eating my breakfast, opened it up, and there's a full-page story about this, how wonderful Jim Burke is. He just got promoted to the chief of police in Suffolk County. I almost choked on my breakfast, okay?
Who did that story? Tanya Lopez did the story?
Yes. So I contacted her the next day. I said, "I got to meet with you because I'm going to tell you the truth about Jim Burke." Because I said, I can't digest this story that you just wrote. This is all lies. And she met with me. And then we met a couple of times.
Guy
and
Malone.
She was shocked at all the stuff I had.
Hey, Guy Malone, once again, is our very special guest. You're hearing the voice of a gentleman. He's an insurance man, but more importantly, in this particular context, he is someone who brought allegations and I was going to say charges, but not officially, right, against James Burke. Frank McKay here with Guy Malone, the the former husband of Heather Malone, who he alleges is a prostitute who was protected from then Sergeant Burke. And, of course, Chief Burke later got arrested in regards to the whole Christopher Loeb situation. Having said this, do you know anything through deposition that you can share with us now that would in any way give you any pause? And again, by no means are we making any allegations against Jim Burke. I know him. I've always liked Jim Burke, right? Is there anything that you can share with us that came up in deposition that you think would either link him to either covering up or having any involvement in the Long Island serial killing?
Okay. It's a long shot, but got to remember, this was back in 2000.
Now, these
okay?
are just allegations, so you're speculating
right,
on this.
Right. Here's my tie to the whole thing, okay? As I said earlier in our discussion, he was represented by the law firm of Spoda at this deposition, okay? At that time, in 2000, I had no idea who Spoda was. I didn't know who he was. Shortly thereafter, 2 years later, in 2002, Spoda becomes the Suffolk County DA, okay? Now, so number one, Spoda had to know about Burke's ties to prostitution before he became the DA, because we brought it up in the deposition. We brought it up about him having ties to a prostitute, being busted by the police, and he had to know, okay? So I'm surmising that this goes a lot deeper with Burke and Spoda. I still maintain that somewhere, somehow, Spoda's involved in this, big time, yeah. All right? And there's no way that Spoda could not know about what kind of the character of James Burke and what James Burke was up to. And look, the whole thing with Gilgo Beach happened years after this, but when it happened, there's Spoda, he's not a DA, okay? There's Burke, they're protecting each other, and that's my assumption. But the biggest thing, I think, is the fact that I can prove that when we questioned Burke about prostitution, he lied, Spoda was there representing.
Now, who's come up to you, and you don't have to be specific, but I'm sure you get, and again, from everything you just said there, these are allegations again. You don't have proof that he's involved or he's involved with a cover-up. Your deposition, the deposition that you have is fascinating. I mean, that would be a very interesting document for people to read. Let me ask you
that deposition probably the best money I ever spent was I cost me a lot of money because I had to pay for the attorney, I had to pay for the court stenographer, I even had to pay for having it videotaped. But I'm telling you, today, 17 years later, that's gold.
Published it?
No.
You haven't? So this is something that hasn't been seen yet. And let me also ask you this, and I started just a second ago, Frank McKay here with Guy Malone, a gentleman who's alleging that his wife, former wife, Heather Malone, was working as a prostitute and was being protected by Jim Burke. And again, not necessarily alleging that Jim Burke owned the agency. As, by the way, that's been reported, on the internet, going back and forth that he ran an agency and everything else. This is much less than that. It's not.
By the way, Frank, that beeper number two that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
That beeper, he admitted under oath. It's big time stuff too. Under oath, I have it in a transcript that beeper had been around since 1992. And this is 2000. And that means that's the same beeper that Loretta, because Newsday broke the story, and Loretta Rickenbacker even admitted she was using James Burke's personal beeper for her prostitution.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow.
Well, guess what? Back in 2000, when Burke had no idea that we knew anything about Rickenbacker, so he admitted under oath, I've had that beeper for all that time. But he was really pissed off because he wanted to know how we found out the information about the beeper, because it was an unlisted number. He was very reluctant to give us any information. He goes, it's illegal. There's no way that he should know about that. And he kept questioning us. How did you find out about that information on my beep? We wouldn't tell him. Because he was really shocked that I uncovered that it was to a Jane Burke, which is a fictional person, the whole story. He could not believe that we uncovered that.
Wow, that's amazing. Here's what I started asking you before. Since you've been public and you've done other radio shows and you've spoken to reporters, Tanya Lopez, you mentioned, have people come to you? And I'm not asking you to just, throw out any wild accusations that people have or whatever, but I'm sure people have come to you and said, what do you know? Now, first of all, have the feds come to you and said, what do you know? And second of all, what's the most damning information that you believe to be true that people have provided you with because you're out there with information on Burke?
Well, I said the two most damning things are, I think, that Spoda represented him. That's how I spoke to him directly.
Spoda represented all the cops. I mean, he was, that was a...
Right,
that
but
was
still,
a thing.
But I had the transcript which showed me that Burke was questioning him about prostitution. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Secondly, the fact that... I just lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
The second thing is that he had this beeper. Rickenbacker was using the beeper. Newsday has since, many years later, determined the fact when they questioned Rickenbacker, she said, oh, yeah, that was his beeper. That's the same beeper my wife's using. I have the phone records. I still have the phone records showing every phone call made every day, every time she's calling that number. I have it all documented.
It's damning.
I can prove the fact that my wife was calling this number 12, 15 times a day. I have the times, everything. It's all there.
All right. Now, getting back to have you provided this to the feds or did they come ask
for it? Oh, I provided it to the feds. No. Wait. I didn't give them the phone records. They came and they saw it. They didn't take it, okay? I also gave it to the Suffolk County Internal Affairs back in 1999. And I've showed it to many other people. I haven't given it. But Tanya Lopez has seen it. A few other people, off the top of my head, I don't remember their names.
Right, that's okay.
In fact, the attorney working for Shannon Gilbert.
John Ray.
I met with him.
That's John Ray.
John Ray back in March last year. I tipped him off to the Rickenbacker stuff. He knew nothing about it because he's doing his own investigation. He called me, and he said, I want to meet with you. And I'm the one who told him certain people he could contact if he wants to uncover information. I said, I'm done. I said, I'm not contacting people anymore. I did it years ago. If you wanted to search these leads, I gave them to them.
When do you think I'm asking you to speculate here, but when do you think your wife's relationship, alleged relationship with Jim Burke ended?
Ended? I can't answer. Well, it went on for about 4 or 5 more years after that. My daughter, who actually lived in Jim Burke's house with my ex-wife.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. She could relate to it better than me is when it ended, because once I divorced her, I couldn't give a crap what she did with him, okay? She could have him. But it began. I have a witness, a very good witness. I still have his testimony under oath where he testified that it began around 1992.
Now, what about your daughter? And not to, drag in innocent names here. You mentioned your daughter, that she lived with Burke. I'm reminding folks, once again, Guy Malone here telling a story, allegations against Jim Burke, providing cover for a prostitute who happens to be his ex-wife, Guy Malone's ex-wife, Heather Malone. Now, having said all of that, your daughter, what was her opinion of Jim Burke, if you don't mind me asking?
What was what?
What was your daughter's opinion of Jim Burke?
Well, at the time, she was brainwashed. She was a young kid.
Yeah.
She thought he was wonderful. He used to buy things, big gifts, very nice. She had no inkling of what was going on. Now, many years later, she she won't even talk to her mother. She's done with her mother forever because she found out what her mother was doing. And she's like, she's shocked. She's shocked what went on. She was at the time between the ages of 5 and 8, 5 and 9. She's now 23, and she has nothing to do with her mother at all for the last 4 years.
Now, as far as
she found out.
Yeah, as far as you know, does your wife, Heather Malone, or the ex-wife Heather Malone, did she have any connection other than Burke, just indirectly, with Loretta Rickenbacker?
I don't think she had any. I'm sure she knew about it because she was seeing Jim Burke the years 1995, and so when Rickenbacker was around, unless Burke kept that from her, but I don't see. She had to know something. She had to know something.
There's also been, and again, before I start with that, Guy Malone, once again, is our very special guest. We've got a couple moments left. with Guy, and then we got to go. Frank McKay here with a man whose wife allegedly was a prostitute that was getting cover from then Sergeant James Burke. And again, we say allegedly. By no means are we saying this is fact, but he's convinced. He has a deposition that that points in his favor. He's seen Jim Burke, I guess, in a court of law and in private depositions, that that he would draw this conclusion, and all of that. You know, all of that being said, let me ask you, and I don't want to get too graphic here. A lot of people listening, but do you? And again, I'm just going off of allegations or whatever is out there. Do you have any indication that your wife, could have known any of the victims that ended up on Gilgo Beach? Any indication that your wife?
If Burke is involved in it, then I think she probably would know of them or something about them. Oh, if he has no involvement with it, then I kind of wouldn't think so. Because she was with Burke for at least 5 to 6 more years after 2001. So she was. They lived together. So she knew all about Jim Burke and his conniving and his scheming and his fraudulent activities. So if he is involved in it, then I'm sure she has some information.
Yeah, look, like you said to me off mic, and obviously it's clear you have a bias against Jim Burke. Doesn't mean that anything you said is wrong. I mean,
can you blame me?
No, listen, for good reason. For good reason you have a bias against Burke. Let me ask you this question, and we got a couple moments left. Do you believe in your heart of hearts that Burke has anything to do with what's going on there in this the serial killer? I'm not saying that he did it.
Okay. Want to know what I believe? Here's what I believe. I can't believe that he physically killed those people. I'm sorry. I can't bring that
That's
to
good.
Me. Because if he wanted to kill somebody, he would have killed me 15 years ago. Because that's who I was going to him, okay? But besides the point, does he have information that might lead to the killers? Was he some way involved or implicated in this? I absolutely believe that's true.
Do you have any connection to Loeb? You've never met Loeb, right?
Never met him, never spoke to him, never even knew who he was.
I'll
tell you one other thing. I think the reason why Burke took a plea bargain for 4.5 years, because all this other crap was going to come out. And if it did, he might get 20 years, okay? Because I was with the first person online to have him locked up and then throw the key away, meaning goodbye, you're in there for life, okay? Yeah. I was ready to pounce on him big time when this story broke about Loeb.
Now, you were never...
So he took a plea bargain.
You were never threatened, right? You were never... You didn't get the Loeb treatment.
No.
Although
he had me arrested a second time. I'm sure he was behind that second arrest.
Right now, okay. Again, listen, we're just about ready to close. I really appreciate your time. We appreciate you sharing this story. Very personal story, but obviously and you said it yourself. You're biased. This is for good reason, right? You're biased. Your wife. You found out allegedly that your wife was acting as a prostitute, and she was getting covered.
At first, I was considered a scorned husband.
Right.
I have a scorned husband. No, this is involved like the police, Suffolk County Police Department. This is involved prostitution. There was drugs involved. We didn't even get into the drugs. Okay, that's a whole other issue. He was an undercover narc in the second precinct in Amityville, and my wife was selling coke, dealing cocaine, I found out. Well, where do you think she's getting it from? He's busting people, probably giving her the drugs so she could sell them. I mean, this is stuff I found out was phenomenal, incredible.
Yeah, listen, I'd love to sit with you and love to get a part two with you. Again, these are all allegations. I'll put out that disclaimer, but that the opinions of Guy Mohan do not
necessarily... smoke this fire.
Yeah.
But
listen,
this guy's in jail. He's in jail now, not me. So
yeah, well, you got a hell of a story. I mean, that's for sure. And you got to, listen. I think you're a credible source. But again, for reasons of disclaimer, the opinions of Guy Malone do not necessarily reflect those of me or the radio station. But listen, we appreciate your time. It's a hell of a story. Guy Malone, thank you very much for being here.
Okay.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay signing off. Guy Malone. insurance salesman who, an insurance agent, I should say, who more importantly is the former husband of Heather Malone, who has a is allegedly worked as a prostitution in a prostitution situation that allegedly Jim Burke, former police chief Jim Burke, gave cover for, according to Guy Malone. We're signing off. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.